Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Morning show with John and you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game all over Metro Atlanta and, of course, worldwide at radio.com. Be a lot of chatter about football today. We'll talk a lot of college football in the 8 o'clock hour about the season ahead and what you think of the season ahead. The Falcons opened their facility yesterday, and it could be interesting to see how the NFL proceeds going forward. I think really, Hugh, the big question isn't so much in the NFL, just, you know, seeing the facilities start to open across the league. The question isn't so much when are the coaches going to be there and when are the the players going to show up and things of that nature. I think the big question for the NFL isn't about fans or starting the season. The question is, how do you handle it when the first player tests positive?
Yeah. You know, and there was a few players I know a couple weeks ago. Who was it? Von Miller. It was reported that he tested positive and that he was doing fine and everything. Yeah, that's the thing, because you don't want to start and then have to shut it down, shut everything down. And I think that's one of the main reasons why you see the NFL is trying to implement, you know, this new plan with these new face masks or whatever. You know, it's funny. I was listening to V103 yesterday, Big Tigger, and he was talking about how the cat's going to breathe. That was the first thing I was thinking about, because I had to go out yesterday, John, and I had to wear my mask for an extended period of time yesterday in the store. And I'm like, good googly moogly. And I'm just walking around the store, and I'm like, man, wearing a mask ain't comfortable. And if you have to wear one for an extended period of time and have to get used to that, that's going to be something different. That's kind of on the same lines as what we were talking about yesterday as far as the mask that you have to wear when you the people that – the elevation mask, when they work out in them and things of that nature. So, yeah, it's going to be a little tough if you're talking about having something in front of your face that restricts your air.
Yeah, I was wondering about that. Well, why wouldn't they just make visors mandatory?
Yeah, I mean, some people don't like playing in visors. And when you talk about the visor, John, that's different than, like, where your mouth guard is or whatever. So that's going to be something that if you're not used to having something on your face like that, it's going to feel like it's restricting. No question about it.
Yeah, how does a quarterback bark sounds and calls wearing a mask? What do you say?
See, I don't know what the design's going to look like, but I would assume that it's going to be like a COVID mask. That's going in the – it's going to be in the place of – well, in the same area as the mouth shield. You know, the face mask. It's going to be just something that covers the mouth so you can't spit on folks and you can't breathe on them too heavy.
Matt Ryan spoke out to SportsCenter yesterday on ESPN talking about the division, talking about the season ahead, and talking about Tom Brady, of course. And we have a number of cuts from Matt to kind of chop up here. Let's start with the first one where Matt Ryan is talking about Tom Brady now coming into this division.
Man, it didn't get any easier in our division, for sure. But, you know, they're solid. Tampa's defense last year was really tough. They add Tom, who's such a consistent and great player. The division's going to be, you know, it's going to be a battle every week, but it's going to be fun. It's going to be exciting. And, I'm looking forward to getting this season going.
Yeah, it's got to be kind of exciting, though, when he says it's going to be fun and exciting. I'm kind of going to that part of it here. If you're Matt Ryan, you know, the idea of getting, two shots at Tom Brady, at least maybe four over the next year or two has got to be, you know, not only a challenge, but an opportunity. You're never going to be able to, you know, overcome what happened. We get that. But maybe just a little bit of a chance for you to finally beat Tom Brady and get that little notch in your belt.
I mean, I guess that's one way to looking at it, John. I think that, you know, when you're playing against a quarterback of his caliber, you know, yeah, of course it's important to get the win. But, man, I'm thinking that this year for him and every year after that, as long as he's playing, just trying to get a Super Bowl championship on this belt. That's the biggest thing. You know, losses happen, you know, and those are things you had to deal with. I know that was a big loss. But to win a Super Bowl, that'll kind of help salve that wound a little bit. Definitely will help salve that wound a lot.
Matt just turned 35 last Sunday. What do you think the window is on the Matt Julio? We'll just use those two. What are we looking at? Three, four more years maybe?
I was thinking three. Three was the thing that popped into my head because, you know, skills, you know, it's funny. The last person to know a player can't play is the player. And I think that Julio and Matt can still play at a high level. I think that they can still get it done. But you're starting to see, you know, those numbers kind of creep down a little bit, especially for, like, you know, receivers and things of that nature. I think Julio can still be a serviceable guy because you're going to have some great talent around him. You know, kind of like in the same situation that Larry Fitzgerald's in. You know, Larry Fitzgerald's been playing a long time. Not the receiver that he once was, but it's still a darn good receiver. Really, really good receiver. So I think it's going to be a little bit of that, John. Yeah, but you're talking about the window as far as winning a Super Bowl. I'll say 3 to 4 years.
This second cut from Matt Ryan, again, talking to SportsCenter and ESPN yesterday. The schedule has a weird quirk in it. We all know that. We had heard that the NFL wanted to really put an emphasis on having division rivalries at the end of the season, but we never thought that in the last seven games you would have four of the last seven against Breeze and Brady. You'll have two against Breeze and then two against Brady in the final three games of the year. You're going to play Tampa, you're going to play the Chiefs, and you're going to play Tampa. That tremendous ending for the Atlanta Falcons, Brady, Mahomes, Brady at the end of the year, which is just insane. But the four times in seven games to end the season, and this is what Matt Ryan said about those showdowns.
Yeah, our defense is going to have their work cut out for them. That's for sure. So it's tough, but, you know, I think anytime you get those division games late in the year, it gives you a chance to either make up ground or separate yourself, and that's what we're going to need to do that time of the year.
Well, they finished strong last year. It goes without saying. We talked about this when the schedule came out. You know, what's the most important part? You know, a quick start, which, you know, they haven't been doing so well, or a big finish. Both are important, but, boy, that finish is going to determine the division, because you've got those, you know, when you're packing that many games in, Hugh, in that period of time, that's the division in 7 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, and you're going to have to really, you know, put yourself in position to be, you know, successful. Hopefully at that point during the season, you kind of know what you are, you know, and I think that's the biggest thing that we're talking about here is that the Atlanta Falcons, regardless of what the situation is as far as the COVID and when the season is getting started, you got to start fast. You can't have the same kind of season or the beginning of the season that you had last year, because people are going to be looking at that and they're going to be scratching their head and wondering what's going on. So you have to get off to a quick start. You definitely have to do that.
Man, the Falcons have earned the reputation that they've gotten with 7-9 and 7-9 back-to-back seasons, and the start last year, that 1-7 start. They've earned the reputation that they're getting right now, and the reputation they're getting, for example, you can go to CBSSports.com, and they rank all the teams in the NFL by tiers, you know, the number, and there are five tiers, you know, for the first being the legitimate champions all the way down to the fifth tier, which are the teams that are playing for the number one pick in Trevor Lawrence or something to that effect. They put the Falcons in the fourth tier. I mean, you're down there and in the kind of the bottom rung of the NFL. It's not much ahead. I think most of the national media looks at the NFC South and says, it's a two-team race, and the Falcons are kind of, you know, they're a 500 club, or maybe they're, you know, a six-win team or something like that. They don't have a whole lot of faith in the Falcons. And again, you get what you earn here. So the Falcons are going to have to prove it, you know, to the national media. But I think, first off, they got to prove it to themselves that they can get out of the gate, because if they don't get out of the gate like they did last year, then the end of the season probably not going to matter.
Yeah. And, you know, there's a lot of people that feel like, you know, the first few weeks of the season is going to matter. You know, and if it gets off to a slow start, it's going to be hard to sell that to your fan base. It definitely is, and especially after the way we started last year. Fan base is going to be pretty hot about that.
A final cut from Matt Ryan talking about those biggest keys to being able to compete with the Breeze and the Swampers and, of course, Brady and the Bucks in this NFC South.
Well, I think it's going to be important for us to get off to a fast start and make sure that, you know, at the beginning of the year, we're right in the mix so that when we get those division games late in the year, we've got a chance to separate or do what we need to do. In terms of what we need to do offensively, we're obviously going to have to score some points. You know, there's some great offenses in our division, so we got to focus on that, going out week in and week out, and finding ways to get touchdowns when we get in the red area.
Yeah, the Falcons are dealing with, you know, kind of different expectations here, Hugh. One is the national expectation of the fact that they're not a very great team, and there are people on my Twitter who keep saying, you know, you're drinking Kool-Aid that doesn't exist. This is a team that won't even finish 500, and they are convinced of that, and that anybody who doesn't see that is just an absolute homer who's got rose-colored glasses on. I still think it's a pretty good football team. But
well, it is a good football team, John. And I mean, the people that already know what the season's going to hold for the Falcons, they need to go to Vegas. They need to put money down on that. If they feel that confident about it, go ahead and take that act on the road. And if you feel that strongly about what the Falcons are going to be, because if that was the case, there's no need to play the games this year. You know, just go ahead and place your bets now and become a millionaire, because that's basically what you're saying. Nobody knows. Nobody knows. That's why they play the games, John. And you just have to go out there and ball out. I think that this team is good. It all depends on how the season starts for them, though. I think that if they get off to the slow start, that the natives are going to get restless. And there's going to be a lot of chatter that was basically the chatter that we had last year. So, yeah, like you have to get off to a fast start. Everybody knows that. No, nobody's a dummy in this situation. I know nobody's really talking about it that much, but you got to get off to a fast start.
And we know the expectation of Arthur Blank. He said it. You know, and that's what I've been trying to tell people. Look, Arthur Blank set a marker down. He in that meet, you know, back when we could have people and reporters go to news conferences, at the end of the year when he sat there with Rich McKay and said, okay, I'm elevating Rich McKay, he's not going to be with the stadium anymore, he's not going to be the guy that Thomas Dimitroff and Dan Quinn have to, you know, they got to go through him, he's now the new decision maker here, whereas, you know, before Dimitroff and Quinn went straight to Arthur Blank, now they go to Rich McKay, and so Rich has got a say in all of this, and I believe that this is a playoff team, and so I expect them to make the playoffs. So now Arthur Blank comes out and says, playoffs, and again, playoffs may be a, you know, kind of a fudge. You, I mean, if they're you know 9-1 and lose their last six games and squeak in as a wild card team and get blown out in the opening round of the playoffs, that may not be enough. You know, it depends on, you know, playoffs will have its own kind of meaning depending on how you do, how you get there, and what you do once you're there. Right?
I think playoffs is playoffs. You know, and if you're going at 9-7, you're in the dance, and I think that. To your point, it depends on how you exit. Exit is gonna be very important. But you in the play, you in the dance, you in the dance. That's how I kind of look at it, John.
A lot of NFL, a lot of football talk coming up at the 8 o'clock hour. A lot of college football talk with you. We want to know about whether you think there's going to be a season and how this is all going to play out. We'll be having that conversation in the 8 o'clock hour. Next up, how in the world is Tom Brady allowed, when nobody else is allowed, to work out with his teammates and do everything just because he's Tom Brady? Nobody says anything? This is just, you know, this is weird. Here we go again with special privileges for apparently one guy and one team. We'll talk about that next after a CBS Sports Minute. Oh, the sounds of the NFL actually echoing through a few of the training facilities around the league again for the first time in well over 2 months. Welcome back to the Morning Show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's not much, but we'll take what we can get in terms of players showing back up, even if they're just the guys that are rehabbing. And Rich McKay talking about it in the last, you may have heard in the Sports Flash, that, you know, Todd Gurley, for example, you can't fly, so if you're not here, you're not coming. So we'll see what this means going forward. Rich McKay yesterday did a walkthrough, Hugh, of the Falcons facility and was talking about how this is all kind of going to work from a timing standpoint, and this is what the Falcons team president said.
All we're doing now is trying to get this building up and running, so we're going to just inch our way to it, and we're going to worry about what is today, what is now, what are the current protocols, the current understanding. The one thing we've seen is a lot has changed. You've seen a lot change. And so we're trying to not get ourselves caught up in what will training camp look like. How are we going to meet when training camp comes? What are locker rooms? Let's worry about now. So that's what we're trying to do today. And that's what we're going to do over the next 3 weeks as we get this building from right in today being 15 people to 75 people, hopefully when we get the coaches back.
Yeah, this has got to be difficult, Hugh, because you got to kind of walk and chew gum at the same time. I mean, you got to walk through, okay, how do we open up the building? How do we get to 75 people? And he says, you know, you have to worry about now. You can't worry about, but the coaches do. The coaches have got a plan, because if you're going to start this season in 3 months, you got to get going.
Yeah. And you talk about, you know, the fact that you see Tom Brady in his shoulder pads out there with his teammates, that don't help. That does not help, especially when you start talking about, you know, being competitive in the division and trying to win, you know, trying to win Super Bowls. When you go see the guy that just won a Super Bowl, well, not him, but, you know, a couple years ago, winning a Super Bowl, you see him out there getting that work in, you got to look at that and be like, damn, it's time to go to work.
Yeah, the Falcons are, you know, they have their team president doing the right thing, by the way, not only, you know, appropriately attired in a mask. This was off AtlantaFalcons.com, but standing in the locker room, and Huey was not standing on the Falcon. They made sure to note that in the video. It was clear that he was not standing on the Falcon, because you don't stand on the Falcon in the locker room. So he was doing all the right things, talking about, hey, we got, you know, 15 people here. We got to, over the next 3 weeks, we got to get it to 75 people, and, you know, we got to do this. Yet at the same time, Tom Brady, oh, no, heck with that. I'm working out with my teammates. What in the world?
It's Florida. I mean, you know, some only thing I can say, John, is when you the GOAT, you do stuff like that. If you want to be like the GOAT, you got to do what the GOAT does. And that's basically what it's looking like. You know, Tom Brady obviously has gotten different words from different folks where he gets to do whatever the heck he wants to do. I mean, that's kind of like, you know, if you want to be competitive, you probably, you know, I'm pretty sure Matt Ryan's doing something. I hope Matt Ryan's doing something, because when you see stuff like that, man, it kind of makes you wonder. You know, and that's one of those images that I know for Bucks fans, they see that and they getting stoked. They're juiced because they see Tom Brady getting ready for the season. Damn these COVID-19 restrictions that you're putting in place. He's getting ready. That's my quarterback. People saying stuff like that. So you better be ready to go. When the season starts, you better be ready to go.
Well, Mike Ruffalo of NFL.com talking about Tom Brady working out with his team. It turns out, yesterday wasn't the first time.
Tom Brady, he's the one organizing this. He's getting a jump on this, more so than the coaching staff. And by the way, via sources, I'll add a little bit. If you think this was the first workout today, you'd be way wrong. This was just the first one that was documented. These guys have been working together already, and it's because of Brady organizing this, putting it together. Might very well have his trip out to Montana that he usually has or often has with his targets to get even more work as we get later into the summer. He's going to make it clear that he wants things done a certain way, and these guys who are maybe not used to that coming from their quarterback are going to have to get used to that.
Hey, you want to catch this COVID-19 or you want to win Super Bowls? You better make a decision. That's what I'm talking about. You better make a decision. That's basically what he's doing, man. And who's going to tell Tom Brady no? I mean, that's
apparently
what you're talking
nobody.
About.
Apparently
telling
nobody.
Tom Brady no? No, Tom, I don't. You want to win a Super Bowl? No, not really. I don't want to catch COVID-19. It's just a cough. You get over it. It's just a cough. Yeah.
Well,
that's what Tom's doing.
Yeah, you saw the story yesterday because we tweeted it out. Tom Brady has that TB12 thing, so he's selling this stuff for like $60 called Immunity. All right,
and
it's
I saw that.
It's some kind of supplement that's supposed to boost your immune system or something, right?
Hey, and, if I'm his teammate, hey, you better give me that for free, brother. If you got me out here working out, hey, I better get that for free. Like you better have a box of that in the locker room or wherever we're going. That's for free. Yeah, that's what I'm looking at that.
You know, one of the reviews said that, you know, it's like a $65 bottle of this immunity stuff, and basically you can go get emergency, that powder stuff, at the store, and it's about the same thing.
I saw that, but you know, it doesn't have Tom Brady's name on it, John. It's different. It's not the same thing because Tom Brady's name's not on it. I'm being sarcastic. Just in case nobody knew, that was sarcastic.
So it's called Immunity. So, wait, let me get this straight. He goes to a park that's closed, and he's throwing a football around, and the cops show up, and they say, hey, Tom, how you doing? We're not going to ticket you. We're going to ask for your autograph, pat you on the back, and say welcome to Tampa, right? I mean, and the mayor, by the way, the mayor's going to apologize to you, right?
Yeah, That's what six Super Bowl championships do for you, John.
And he's going to go meet against NFL rules with Byron Leftwich, but walks into the wrong house, and the dude says, hey, you're Tom Brady. Hey, how you doing? I mean,
don't hate the player.
You're okay.
Hate the game.
I mean, and so
that's the game.
He works out with 8 Tampa Bay Buccaneers in shoulder pads and helmets when nobody else is working out. And it's not the first time he's
helmets,
done.
Helmets, John Fricky. Shoulder pads and helmets. Getting ready for the season. Team helmets that were given to him by, right, guess who? The team.
The team. The new team helmets. Right? So listen. I think immunity is not the name of his COVID drug. Immunity is the name of Tom Brady. He's immune. The rules don't apply.
He's doing what he can. Like, those are not – like, John, there are ways you can skirt around that. They're probably saying that, there wasn't OTAs, there wasn't organized team activities, which they probably weren't under the guidelines. Now, you could ask the question, okay, well, how did they get the equipment? Now, that's a good question. I don't know how they're going to answer that. Hey, he came in there and took it. It's Tom Brady. That they might get in trouble for that. But, what else are you going to say? If I'm a quarterback in NFL and Tom Brady's doing that, guess what I'm doing?
I'm doing the same thing.
Damn right.
If I'm Matt Ryan, I'm out there today tossing a ball to Hayden Hurst.
But you know what the bad part about that is? Say, for instance, if Matt Ryan doesn't do that, and he does, follow the guidelines, and whatever happens, whatever happens this season, if it doesn't go our way, Matt Ryan's going to be looked at like that's going to be a mark against him. That's a bad spot to be in. Realistically, when you talk about today and social media and everything like that, and if the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have success and you look at everything that he's done, people are going to point to that, and it's going to be a problem, definitely.
Well, we'll see. I I'm not expecting any fallout. I'm expecting the NFL to yawn at all this, so – I don't know why every other team in the NFL wouldn't, every other quarterback in the NFL. If you can't do it in your own state, if you're locked out of doing it in New York or New Jersey or California, hop it in a van or something.
And to be fair, we don't know who else is doing it. Somebody else might be doing it. They might be doing it. It's just that because it's Tom Brady, it's getting to play. But it might be going on. Matt Ryan might be working out with his other guys. He's just doing it a little bit more covertly,
Yeah, anybody. So it could happen.
It could be going on. Just to be fair, don't want to be on here, inciting riots or whatever and getting people all riled up about something that we don't know for sure. So, right. Yeah, he could potentially be doing that right now.
Well, we do know this for sure. That Tom Brady has immunity. He's literally got a drug or a supplement called immunity, and he doesn't get into trouble for anything.
$60? Boy, that's a lot of money for some pills. That's a lot of money.
Don't be suckered into that one, okay? Just saying. If they say that this other stuff, this emergency immunity stuff is the same thing for about $10, I wouldn't be out there spending those $60 for Tom Brady's thing, But you do you. I mean, if you're a Brady fan and you want to support him, because Lord knows he needs the money.
If Matt Ryan was selling it, you wouldn't support Matt Ryan, John?
No.
For $60? No. You sure?
No. Yeah, sure.
That's a lot of money, sure, for some bills.
Yeah, for some bills, yeah, that ain't happening. Hey, did you see that the Mercedes-Benz Stadium is going to be the only Mercedes-Benz Stadium?
Yeah, I saw that. They're taking the name off the Superdome down there, yep, in New Orleans.
Yep, Mercedes-Benz is taking its name off the Superdome in New Orleans.
I thought it was more so, the way I read the story, I think it was a money situation. And to me, when I read it, it felt like the Superdome was looking to change the name. They were selling the naming rights.
Well, yeah, because Mercedes-Benz is the one backing out.
Oh, they're okay, got you. Okay, got you.
And so they're going to have to sell. Good luck selling naming rights right now. I'll see who steps up to do that. And if anybody does, spending that kind of money to name a stadium. But
I just got this gift from Oren. Like, with as much as money as Tom Brady's going to make from selling those vitamins, maybe he can get their naming rights to the stadium. $60 a pop.
He tried to rename the town Tampa. All right.
Did he really, John? Are you making that part up? Did he really try to do that, or are you making that part up, John?
No. I mean, didn't he get the trademark for Tampa?
Oh, he got Tampa Bay? Tampa copyrighted. Okay, he got it copyrighted.
Tampa Bay. Yeah.
But you said he remade it. Tried to rename the town. I'm like, did he for real? Did I miss that? I gotta watch you, John Freaky, because sometimes, man, you get into your fandom just a little bit too much. I don't know, and you embellish just a little bit.
Just a little bit. I honestly, I don't know who I want to beat more this year. This is the first time ever I've actually thought that there might be somebody besides the Swappers I want to beat equally as bad.
No, John, I tell you the best way. You know the best way to get back at both of them?
Win.
Let me tell you. No, you know what? Win, but win what?
Well, win big. Win the Super Bowl, right.
Yeah, win a Super Bowl. Yeah. That's how you get back at them. Win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, I can't.
Be a part of that club. Be a part of the club.
This season. I want this so bad. I want shots at these guys. I want Matt Ryan and Julio to take their shot, guys.
Super Bowl win. Super Bowl win. Super Bowl win. Think bigger. Super Bowl win.
Coming up at the top of the hour, we're going to ask you, we're going to open the phone lines, and we want to know, are you a college football fan? Are you a Georgia fan, a Bama fan, an Ohio State fan, a Pick-A-Team fan, Auburn fan, Tech, you name it. If you're an Ohio State fan or a Tennessee fan or anybody, what are you thinking about college football this year? Are we going to play? Are we going to play? And if so, what's it going to look like? That'll be at the top of the hour. Next up, six rivalries in basketball. Think about this. What are the best basketball rivalries? All ahead on The Morning Show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and, of course, streaming worldwide at radio.com. Morning Show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game on this Wednesday hump day. It is race day for NASCAR. 6 o'clock is green flag tonight. They moved it up because of the weather in Darlington if you're looking for the Toyota 500 tonight. We'll certainly focus on that. We're going to talk college football coming up in about 17 minutes from now. We ask you and open up the phone lines, talk to you about college football, the college football season. We have a little time in the 8 o'clock hour to do that with you today, and we really want to kind of pick your brain. If you're a college football fan, we want you to be part of the conversation coming up at the top of the hour. As you know, we've been doing our pick six on The Morning Show here, and every day somebody gets a chance to have six things, Hugh Douglas, on a list, and everybody else has got to take a guess at this. And today, I guess it was my turn, Abe said, to come up with my six top basketball rivalries. And so I have done so, and I've got the list. I got to tell you, I think you'll get four of them, and I think the other two are going to be a little difficult.
Okay.
Some of the now, who's doing it? Who's going to be picking here? You and Abe?
I guess Oren as well.
Yeah.
No, well, and you Abe, and Abe.
How are we doing? I don't know how we're doing it. What are we doing? What are we doing?
Abe.
Yeah, I'm guessing. Yes.
All right. So it's you and Hugh.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. I just want to check on that. All right. Here we go. These are the six best basketball rivalries. I think three to four. Three is certainly going to be easy. I think the fourth is fairly easy. And the other two are going to be a little bit difficult. We'll see if they can be. These are my six now. A couple of notes as we go into this, Hugh, and I'll let you pick first, and we'll get through the easy ones first. It's team rivalries, not individual rivalries.
Okay.
There are no women's teams involved in this, and there are two NBA and four non-NBA. All right,
okay.
So those are the parameters. Hugh, you want to go first?
Celtics-Lakers.
Of course, Celtics-Lakers, maybe the greatest rivalry in all of basketball. You know, Celtics-Lakers, boy, how often have we seen those teams? You know, you go back to this is a rivalry, Hugh, that has spanned 50 years or more.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good one. That's definitely a good one.
All right, Abe, that was one of the easy ones. Like I said, I think there are three that are pretty easy, maybe four. You got another guess?
Yeah,
Abe?
I'd say Hugh hit the banner rivalry in the NBA. I'm hoping to hit the banner rivalry in college basketball, Duke-UNC.
Of course, Duke-UNC. You know, down on Tobacco Road, and for the, you know, I only spent 1 year at Wake Forest, but the 1 year at Wake Forest was really an education in Tobacco Road and in how things work. There are some things that I think most fans don't realize about, and I learned about Duke and North Carolina back when I was there. One, Hugh, is that the two campuses are 9 miles apart. 9 miles.
Didn't know that.
Yeah, I mean, they're that close. Think about nine miles is our studios to Truist Park. That's 9 miles. That's how close they are. And yet they're worlds apart. North Carolina is populated. It's a state school that's populated by North Carolinians and, you know, kind of regular, you know, Jens and Joes. Duke is a private school that is snooty, 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 that's populated by a bunch of kids who couldn't get into Ivy League schools up north.
You keep saying that.
You're selling UNC short, though, John. UNC is one of the best public schools in the entire nation, though. So don't you know, it might be Carolina kids, but it's Carolina kids who are, you know, on the up and up, one of them, two. Like the out-of-state kids they bring in are also on the up and up, too. Just saying.
I'm not trying to sell.
We had some Macaulay kids go to UNC, so I'm just saying, John Fricke.
Yeah, I'm just saying it doesn't have the snoot. It's a different attitude, okay? I mean, it's a totally different vibe on the campus of Chapel Hill than you get at Duke. You know, Duke has got that elitist, you know. And look, Cameron Indoor is, if you've ever been fortunate enough to be there, one of the things that's interesting about Cameron Indoor, it's such a small stadium. It's only less than 9,000 seats. It doesn't have an upper deck. But it is just drips with, you know, it's my favorite stadium in the world. It's just great. It's unbelievably loud. It's oak. It's brass. It's gorgeous. Everything about Cameron Indoor is just wonderful. But that's the highlight of Duke for me. All right, so, yeah, you got two of them here. There's one more NBA and three more non-NBA.
College basketball. Let me think. I'm going to go because I think your wife's a fan of Indiana, right?
Mm-hmm. Big fan.
So I'm going to say Indiana-Kentucky.
Now, that certainly was a great rivalry in the day. It did not make my list. John Calipari killed that rivalry when he played at Indiana. Fans call him Chicken Tucky because Indiana beat him on a buzzer shot about 6-7 years ago. Ever since then, he immediately pulled the rivalry and said, I'm not playing it anymore. Man, Indiana fans went, okay. It's a great rivalry, one of the great ones, but it did not make my short list of six here.
Okay.
Maybe you want to take a crack?
Yeah, I actually thought that Indiana and Kentucky individually are on the list against other schools, possibly. If I was going to stick with Kentucky, I would say maybe Kentucky and Louisville.
Yeah, Kentucky-Louisville, to me, you could argue that it's right there next to Duke, North Carolina. I mean, it is such a blood battle. It has been for so many breakers. The number of national titles between the two. You know, and the hatred between Lexington and Louisville. And again, sort of like Duke, North Carolina, Hugh, Lexington and Louisville are different worlds. You know, different worlds. And so, yeah, I think Louisville and Kentucky is one of the six great rivalries. I think it's the second best college rivalry in all of college basketball. All right, so three down, and those I think were the three easy ones. And now we got three. We got one more NBA and two non-NBA.
I'm gonna say because we just watched The Last Dance, the Pistons and the Bulls.
Boy, I went back and forth. I didn't put Pistons Bulls because I was really down to two, and it was a dead tie, and it was a dead heat in my book. But I didn't go Pistons Bulls for the reason that it was a conference game, a conference rivalry, as opposed to a finals rivalry.
Okay, gotcha. Damn.
And so I just because the stitch was somewhat bigger in the one that I chose. Abe, you want to take a guess at the one I chose?
I honestly, I don't know where you went in the NBA. If you're not going Pistons, Bulls, maybe Knicks, Bulls, but another really good NBA. I'm trying to think of rivalries that extend beyond a certain group of players. Obviously, there were rivalries between the Jordan's Bulls and certain teams, but does that rivalry still exist now? I think like the Lakers. Celtics rivalry still exists now, even without Magic and Bird.
All right, this rivalry does not exist anymore. I have
a better idea.
This rivalry does not exist anymore. And it's fairly recent.
That's terrible.
The one I'm thinking of. All right,
I guess maybe Cleveland and Golden State.
Yeah, that's where I went. Because of the
Seriously?
Impact. Because of the impact of that, you know, in terms of finals and what they had. It was torn between the Pistons, Bulls.
Yeah, and the way, you know, LeBron won that one,
Yeah, came back from 3-1. You know, I think those two had, you know, a serious rivalry, you know, good enough. Yeah, you could say, you know, the Knicks and the Celtics. Well, okay, when was the last time the Knicks-Celtics was a – it had been 30-some-odd years since it mattered. I mean, it's been so long that, you know – I hardly say it's a rivalry anymore. It was back in the day, but I'm sure back in the day, the Fort Wayne Pistons and the Rockford Islanders or whatever the hell they were probably were, you know, who knows. All right, I've got two more, and they're kind of arcane, so I'm going to have to give you a couple of hints. One is a group of college teams, Hugh. One is a group
of
college teams.
Oh, okay.
What?
What were you about to say, Abe? Sound like you had something on your mind.
I was going to guess something really out there.
Okay.
I was going to – well, because it's John Fricke, I'm trying to pick his brain because, look, I think there's some real college rivalries that we're probably not going to be on those lists, and that's fine. Please tell me you did not go Harlem Globetrotters, Washington Generals on
no,
this list.
No, I did not do that. No, I did not. That's not a rivalry. It's hardly a rivalry when they, when
okay.
one team wins
1,018
games and the other wins 12. It's
you
not
said,
really
okay,
a rivalry.
Okay, let me think. You said it's
I would argue it's the most played rivalry, right?
Or the Boston Shamrocks or the New York Metropolitans. Hugh, it's a group of teams. And I want you to think, Hugh Douglas. You got part of it right. You got the first part of it right.
It's in the Big Ten?
No, it's the Big, but it's not the Ten.
Big East?
Yeah, you're getting closer. It's the Big, but it's not the East.
Hugh, you should be super familiar with these schools.
Yes.
You're very familiar with all of these schools, I'm sure of it.
See, I can't even think.
You've seen them in person, Hugh. The Big. All right, you want to go with it, Abe?
Hugh, he's referring to yeah, all the Philly schools, man. The big Philly school rivalries.
Yeah, the Big Five.
You talking about like Villanova, St. Joe's, St.
Yep.
John's, and yeah.
The Big Five.
I forgot the conference.
Temple and
It's Temple, St. Joe's, Villanova, Penn, and LaSalle.
Okay, yeah. Okay. That, I didn't even think about those, and I remember that because the Hawk never dies. The Hawk. I remember that used to be the big saying back then when they had the at the Palestra. When they just had those tournaments, yeah, I can't believe I didn't think of those that rivalry. I didn't think you were going there.
Yeah, it is one of the great rivalries, and you know some people have said Drexel ought to be involved in all this, but the Big Five has been you don't think of when you say great college basketball towns, people don't go Philadelphia, but you got to go Philadelphia. I mean, because of the impact of those schools.
Yeah,
I mean,
Coach Martelli, Phil Martelli.
Man,
yeah. I don't even know why I wasn't even thinking that. That didn't even come to mind. The LaSalle Explorers, all of that, because they're like right in a small little area,
mm-hmm,
right over there. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Nova's won national titles, multiple national titles. Penn's been to a Final Four. St. Joe's has been to a Final Four. Temple's been to the Elite Eight. I don't think they made a Final Four, did they? I don't think so. But they've had, you know, tremendous success. So, you know, all among the top 50, you know, winningest programs of all time. So I put that one. All right, so the last one here real quick is going to be way out there, and this is just mine. I'll just tell you it's international. Anybody want to take a real quick stab at it? I'll just tell you.
Lithuania, the land of the beautiful basketball, and Croatia?
No.
I don't know.
That's a good one. No, USA, USSR.
Okay.
Because of what happened in 1972. So that's my sixth one, is the Americans and the Soviets. But those were my six. You're welcome to jump into your six basketball rivalries. And again, Bulls Pistons could have made the list. I went Cavs Warriors only because of the implications of the NBA world title in terms of the winner got it all. You can make an argument for a lot of things. Indiana-Purdue, a lot of great rivalries out there. I get it. All right, we're going to ask you to jump into the program here. We want to talk to message to all college football fans. You and I have cleared the decks here in the 8 o'clock hour. We want to talk to you about what you're expecting this year. It's time for us to have this chat. We'll do that next as we continue on the morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92 on the game, streaming worldwide at radio.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.